Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back. I was gone for a week. Moved my dad up to Virginia for the summer. And so he's up there. And I already miss him. You know, my dad has always been an adventurer. He's 81 and decided he wanted to be a snowbird. So, that just shows you it's never too late for change. And so he's up in Virginia for the summer, and then he'll be back. And at first we were like, Dad, it's so crazy. Why are you doing that? You're going to miss us so bad. But then when we got up there and saw his backyard, we're like, okay. All right. It's just so beautiful up there. And very nice, and just so many churches. There's a church on every corner. So I got to call my dad later and make sure he was in church today. We'll see. Have to go up there and set him straight. But anyway, I got a good message for you today. Last week, we were so excited. After our third service, we celebrated Baptism Sunday. Over 26 people, I think the number was 27 people got baptized. They made a declaration for the Lord, and that's what baptism is saying, I declare that Jesus is my Lord, and it's an outward sign of what's happened on the inside. So it was very exciting and just awesome to be there and be part of it with people and share that moment with them. But you know, once we've gotten saved and then we've gotten baptized, a lot of times our question can be, what's next? What comes next? And even if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, there's still that question, what comes next? And so that's what I want to talk to you today about, is what comes next. And the good news is, the best is yet to come. Yeah. The more time you spend with God, the more He is the Lord of your life, the more saved days you have under your belt, we could say, the better your life is going to get. Because with God, everything's always better. It's fuller. It lasts longer. God things last longer. And so it's a good thing. But we got to start over here in Philippians. We're going to look in chapter 3. We're going to look at verse number 13. And we're going to see what comes next. How many are ready for good stuff? Yes. Well, I got good news for you, because all God has for you is good stuff. And so here we are in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. You can follow along on the Bible app, or we got it up here for you. Or you can bring your own Bible to church and read it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you know, it doesn't matter if your Bible's on your phone or your iPad. It's just good to have somewhere where you can just turn and read God's Word, right? So here we go. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, this is Paul writing, and he says, brothers. Let's just stop right there. I'm going to teach you a little bit of Bible interpretation. Whenever in the New Testament something starts with brothers or brethren, you know it's for you, because it's addressing brothers in Christ, or we could say brothers and sisters in Christ. All the sisters say amen. Amen. We matter too, right? Here we go. So it says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So we got some really good words there. When we see these words, they're good. A goal, a win, and a prize. How many, when you see the word prize, you light up a little bit? Like, there's a prize? Yeah. Every Sunday, whenever we draw that ticket, everybody's like, there's a prize. But you know what? God has a prize for you. Amen. But it doesn't, you know, Paul writes here and he says, there's one thing you got to do. You got to forget what's behind, and you got to strain or reach for what is ahead. And that's what's next. What's next is straining and reaching for what's ahead for you in Christ Jesus. When we were on our trip driving to Virginia, which is beautiful. Anybody ever been to Virginia? Just a beautiful place. If you've never been, it's a gorgeous place. But we're on the road, and, you know, we're traveling with my dad, and he had hurt his leg, and so we had to stop often. So we stopped at rest areas. And a rest area is to do what?
Rest.
It's to rest. It's to pull over, stretch your legs, rest, get a soda, get a bag of chips, whatever, go to the bathroom. It's a rest. It's just a place. You're not supposed to stay there a long time. You just rest there, and then you keep going. And so we pulled in there, and plus we were driving with my dad's dog, Daisy, and so we had to let her out a lot. And so we pull in the rest area, and we're sitting there for a while, and, you know, I'm ready to go. It's like, okay, let's go. And but everybody wasn't ready, and just while I was sitting there, the Lord, you know, it just came to me. I'm not saying it was the Lord, but it did inspire this message. Said, this is where a lot of believers are. They're in the rest area. They pulled over, and they got stuck there. You're just resting. It's safe there. It's okay there. You're on your way to heaven sitting there. God's good to you there. But how many know we had somewhere to be? You got somewhere to be. Paul didn't tell us to get born again and this one thing is to sit on a pew and just wait till Jesus comes back. Did he? He said, there's one thing I do. He goes, I haven't gotten it yet, but there's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me, and I strain for, I stretch for, I reach for the goal, the prize, the win that Christ has for me. And so I was sitting in the rest area, and I'm looking around all the people and just thought to myself, this is where a lot of believers are. We're just resting. And God has more for us. God has a life for you. This is a journey. Your walk with Jesus, it is a spiritual journey. Whether you started it last week or you were like the five people so far today who started it this morning. You know, in first service, we had a young couple and they both raised their hands to get born again for the very first time. And it was just beautiful. Someone had invited them to church. You know how you're going to help your friends? Invite them to church. And so he came up and I was talking to him and I said, he goes, this is great. I said, oh, do you have a church background? And he said, oh, you know this. He goes, but something's different about this. He said, it made me feel alive. That's what Jesus does. He brings dead things back to life. He's in the resurrection business. Yes. Amen? Yes. You know, God has resurrected us. He has brought us back to life. He has saved us, redeemed us, restored us, not to just sit on a pew and wait till he comes back. He has saved us, redeemed us, restored us. He has made us more than conquerors so that we conquer. Yes. Amen? We got work to do. Yes. So we got to get out of the rest area and say, all right, I got somewhere to be. There are people's lives that God is going to use you to touch and to change. Amen? There are sick people who are waiting for you to lay hands on them and to speak the power of God into their lives. You know, I was at Macy's yesterday, and I'm walking around, and I see these two young men. And they're very good-looking young men. They look like, I thought they were models. Just so you know, they're in Macy's, so I thought they were like walking up to people like they worked at Macy's. I thought they worked at Macy's, and they were walking up and talking to people about like fashion or something. And so then, you know, they're just so smiley like they were working there. And because usually when you're shopping at Macy's, you're not that happy. I mean, you know, unless you're getting paid to be, you know what I mean? Unless there's a really, really big sale. So anyway, so I was watching them, and I was like, oh, they must work here. And so then I walked around, and then they were in the department I was in. They were in the makeup department. Now they're in the clothes department. And so they're walking around. So then I stopped for a second. I'm listening. You know what they were doing? They were walking around praying for people. They were walking around preaching the gospel. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And they were just so nice, and they were just walking up to people and saying, you know, God really loves you and has a plan for your life. Could we pray for you? It was just beautiful. You know, when I first saw them, they had a light in them. They stood out from the crowd. They were different. And you know what? God has a life for you where you stand out from the crowd, where you're different. That's what Jesus saved you for. Amen? To be different. But you know, here we are. We're on our spiritual journey. Some of us have been on it for a long time. Some people just started. You know, like the couple I told you about. They're just starting. But wherever we are, there are truths that we either have to learn for the first time or we have to keep reminding ourselves of these truths. How many have ever forgotten something? You've just totally forgot it. It's like you knew it. Now, you young people don't understand that. But when you get older, you know, I went to get some paper towels out of the garage. I walked into the garage. I walked back into the kitchen. And then I was like, what did I walk in there for? I totally cannot remember at all what I walked in there for. You know, that happens. And you know what? The same thing can happen with the truth of God's word. Amen. We can just be going along in our journey, in our life, and we forget some things that are important for us to stay sharp on, to remind ourselves. So whether you're beginning or whether you've been here for a while, this is something on your journey you got to remind yourself, because if you'll remind yourself of these truths, you'll enjoy the journey more. Yeah. Amen? You'll enjoy the journey a whole lot more. So how many are ready to get them? Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's start over here in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Message because it's just so clear and good, and I want us to see it. So you can look at it up here. It says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us, for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. God has a glorious life planned out for you." Isn't that a great word? You say, "How's your day?" It's glorious. Wouldn't that be great? My day is glorious. And that's what God wants every day. He wants us to live a life where our lifestyle, as Pastor Steve says all the time, it's so good. If you tell Pastor Steve something that happened that's like really great, like, "Hey, somebody gave me $500. You know what he'll say to you? "That's normal for you." He'll say, "That's normal for you." And you know what? The first time he said it, I was like, "Yeah, that is normal for me." Because I'm blessed and highly favored and a child of God. Yes. And God had designs on me. He's got a plan for me. And that plan is for a glorious living. Yes. Doesn't that sound good? And so we gotta just make sure that we remind ourselves, because, you know, we can get saved. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven. But that old thinking, that old lifestyle, that old dead part of us, that worldliness will seep back into our lives. And next thing you know, we've kind of fizzled, and we're flat, and we're sitting in a rest area, and we're saying, "Hey, what's happening?" I meet people all the time. As soon as people find out I'm a pastor, they immediately want to tell me their entire spiritual journey. You know, "Oh, I used to go to church, but this isn't this," or "I did this." And sometimes, you know, people tell me, you know, "I'm born again," and they tell me some crazy story. And sometimes I want to look at them and be like, "Listen, you're not doing this born again thing right. You got it goofed up, because that's not how it works. You're not doing it right." You know, I go to the gym. I know it's probably hard to imagine. But at the gym, sometimes people are on exercise equipment, and they're doing it totally wrong. Like, they got their feet somewhere where their head's supposed to be. And you're just looking at them, and you're thinking, "That's not how that works." That's not how that works. But, you know, sometimes with believers, we look at their life and what they're saying and what they're doing. We say, "Listen, that's not how that works. God's got a plan. We got to follow the plan." Amen. Amen? And so here we go. Here's some just truths that we got to remind ourselves on our spiritual journey. We got to say, "You know what? I can't forget these. I got to remind myself of these all the time. I got to learn them if I don't know them yet. And if I already know them, I got to remind myself, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. You can never hear the word of God enough. Never, ever be prideful and say, "I know that." Be humble and say, "I need to hear it again." Amen. Amen. That's just wisdom. So here we go. Number one thing is, let's remember that we're saved and we're set free. We're saved and we're set free. We're free from stuff. There's just some stuff that doesn't belong to us. It's not mine. It doesn't belong in my life. It does not have my name on it. It's not for me. It's already been paid for by Jesus. I am free from it. Free from it. And one of those things, the number one thing, is my past. I'm free from my past. How about you? We all have one. How many got some stuff you really don't want to share in a testimony service? Right? Been somewhere, you're saying, "Man, I hope nobody saw me." Ever been out and be like, "Please don't let me see anybody I know. Please, please, please." Right? Please, please. I'll tell you a funny story. In my beginning Christian walk, my friend, my church friend, I won't name her name. She doesn't go here. But she still lives in the area, though. But anyway, we are both, we're just like had one foot in the world and one foot in church. We were both like that, but we didn't tell anybody. As far as anybody else knew, we were both feet in the church. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, we had church friends, and then we had other friends. And we kept our other friends separate from our church friends. And we didn't want our other friends to even know that we had church friends. If you're living this life, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That you say, well, nothing's working out. It's because you're unstable. Nothing works in an unstable environment. Nothing. So anyway, my friend and I, we were very good church friend people. Excellent church friend people. So anyway, we're out. One night I'm out with my other friends. And I walk around the corner. Guess who I run into?
Church friend.
My church friend. And then the funniest thing was, is we both looked at each other at the exact same time. We said, what are you doing here? And we were like, she was all embarrassed. My brother was a pastor. I said, don't tell my brother. Don't tell my brother I'm here. Please don't tell my brother. She's like, I'm not going to tell him. You don't tell him I'm here. I'm like, okay. You know? And Mark, I'll tell you who it is after. You'll think it's hysterical. But anyway, so, you know, the thing is that sometimes we can be like that. And we gotta jump out of why I told the story. You gotta jump in with both feet.
Come on.
A lot of times the reason why things aren't working is because you're on a teeter totter. How many know you can't get much done if you're on a teeter totter, you're the only person on it.
Yes.
And you're balancing it. You can't get much done.
No.
And you're saying, why isn't anything working? I love Jesus. Why isn't anything working? Because you got your other foot somewhere it doesn't belong. You need to get it out of there.
Yeah.
And just say, you know what, I'm gonna go with what God has for me. But we're saved and we're set free. Aren't you glad about that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's keep going here. We got John 8:34. Jesus replied, he says this, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That doesn't sound very good right there, does it? But let's keep reading in Titus 3:3-7 out of the Message. This is so good. Do you know, if you're reading it on your phone or whatever, that's great, or read it up here, but just listen. It says, it wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn. Dupes of sin. I love that. Ordered every which way by our glands. All you single people hear that? All right, let's keep going. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, this is, you know what, this is all of us. We were all like that. But I love a good but in the Bible. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath and we came out new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. This is so good. And there's more life to come. An eternity of life. You know, this is all of us. We were all dupes to sin. We all fell for the enemy's tricks. We all fell for the grass is greener on the other side. We all fell for those things. But God, he came in. He did a work in us. He gave us. You have within you, because God gave you it, the power to walk away from dead stuff.
Yes, amen.
You have the power to do it. Quit saying, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't. You can do it. You've been given a gift from God to start a brand new life. And it's a good life. We just read in a scripture before, it's a glorious, glorious life. You have it. You're free from stuff. Stuff that used to hold you down. Stuff that you were never able to get free from. Stuff that used to hurt your feelings and have you crying on the couch for a week. All that kind of stuff. The Bible says now that you are free from that stuff. He's done a work in you. You're brand new on the inside. You're not the weak, trembling baby, can't do anything on your own person you used to be.
Amen.
And I'm not either. We were all like that. We're not that person anymore.
Amen.
Because of his gift to us. Because of that Holy Ghost scrubbing that we got. He changed us from the inside out. We need to look at stuff different and remind ourselves, hey, I'm free from that.
Yes.
I'm free from that. You used to have me, but I'm free from that. because of God. I used to be a dupe to that. You know what the Bible says? We were dupes to sin. I used to fall for that trick. I used to be weak. I used to not have self-control. But God, I'm different now. You're different now. We have been set free. Oh, that's good news. Amen. Good news. All right, let's keep going. Next thing is, let's enjoy this. How many want to enjoy this journey?
Yes.
I want to enjoy this journey. Well, hold on to these truths. Because the enemy, the Bible says, is going around as a, he's not a roaring lion. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion. And you know what he's doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people who don't know they're free from stuff. You know, there are believers all over the place that are in bondage to things that Jesus stretched out his arms for you to be free from. But the enemy has convinced people that you're never going to change. It's never going to be better. It's how your family is. It runs in your family. What good's it going to do? Nothing's ever changed. You've tried to change before. The enemy is telling you all that, and all the while, if you let it sink in, next thing you know, you're going to find yourself sitting down in a cell and the door is wide open. But you're trapped because he has devoured you. Notice it says he's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for someone who doesn't know the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And so the enemy's trying to find people that are just sitting in a rest area saying, yeah, I'm saved, whatever. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, whatever. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. Listen, Jesus is coming back, but are you going to let the devil eat your lunch while you're here?
Amen.
Come on.
You know, are you going to let him just kick you in the butt day after day after day while you're here? Waiting for the glory cloud to roll in? Jesus said, I can have a glorious life right here, right now. Amen? Right here, right now. And let me tell you something. If you're resting, the Bible says that there are treasures being laid up in heaven. How you live in heaven is determined by how you live here. Everybody's going to live well, don't get me wrong. But some people are going to have a nicer house. That's just the truth. Because there are rewards and crowns being given out. And you know how you get those? You get those right here. And people that are sitting on a rest area, sitting in a pew for 20 years, I don't think heaven's going to be great no matter what. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be great no matter what. But God wouldn't say there was reward up there if he didn't want us to do something down here. That's just good preaching right there. All right, let's keep going. All right, who's going to get healed and delivered? Amen? All right, the Bible tells us in Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. We've been delivered. Amen? Let's quit letting stuff stay in our house, stay on our body, stay in us that we've been delivered from. It doesn't go there. It has a forwarding address. We need to put it back in the mail and say, this is not mine. You know what? Poverty does not belong to me. I refuse to get comfortable in poverty. I refuse to think that poverty is just the sign of the times. The Bible has worked through every famine, through every drought, through every war, through every time of distress. The Word of God has remained true. It has remained true. These times we are in right now are no different. Let's not get comfortable with what the world is saying. Let's strive for what the Word promises us. Amen? There is no reason. I tell you what, the Lord has been stirring in my spirit this year, really, and I haven't preached on it that much because I got to get it first. Amen? I got to get it first before I can get it out. And he's getting it in me. He is correcting me and straightening me out and just really smacking me around a little bit in a good way, saying, come on now. You should be living at a higher place. You should be living at a higher place. We've let that lack mentality come in, and we hear ourselves saying, well, we don't have the funds for that yet. We need to be aggressive with the things of God and not let poverty, because just because there's a recession, God doesn't have a recession. Amen? God doesn't have a recession. You know, you drive by some things and they've got all the resources they need. What's different between them and you? Nothing. Same God got it for them, same God to get it for you. But we gotta stir ourselves up. We gotta remember, I'm delivered from poverty. Let's not get comfortable with not having enough. Don't get comfortable being the person that's always borrowing money. Don't be that person. Strive to be the person who's always giving it. Not lending, giving. Let's strive to be that person. Amen? Let's not get comfortable. Let's remind ourselves, I've been delivered from this. You know, for people with emotional situations, your emotions are all over the place. You're unstable. Don't get comfortable like that. Don't say, this is how I'll always be. Strive for healing in that area. Strive for the mind of Christ. Strive for balance and peace in your life. Don't get comfortable with how you were raised. Get raised up with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's remind ourselves, I've been delivered from this. It might run in my family, but I got a new family. I got new DNA in me. It's the DNA of Christ. Amen? Let's remind ourselves, I've been delivered. Jesus tells us over here, let's see. Sight for the blind, release the oppressed. All that stuff that's trying to hold you back, oppress you. Oppression means to press down on you, hold you in to a place that you need to bust out of. That's the enemy. And the Bible says that I've been released. I've been to release the oppressed. That's what Jesus came to do. And so we got to remind ourselves, Jesus died on the cross. How many think he did what he came to do? Raise your hand, say yes. There you go. So that means what? That means there's freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, and releasing for the oppressed. Yes. So if any of those things are in your life, you need to say, you know what? Jesus already came and took care of this. Why am I still in it? Why am I still in it? Jesus already took care of it. He said it's finished. Everything that needed to happen for me to live a life of gloriousness has happened. I just got to walk in it. I got to walk in it. God's got something for you. Let's remind ourselves. Next thing. Now, we don't like this one. I'm just going to tell you right off. This is a tough one. You ready? But if we want, how many want that life? We got to remind ourselves of these truths. I got to be discipled and equipped. We got to take the time to be discipled. So many believers don't take the time to be discipled, and then they wonder why it doesn't work right. And then they blame God. God had nothing to do with it. You didn't do your part. Because you know what? If I'm going to have to pick on who dropped the ball, you or God, me or God, I'm going to go with me. Because his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is always faithful. He's watching over his word to perform it. I can keep going. And then there's me. Right? I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God on it every time. But you know what? We got to take the time to be discipled. Quit just saying, oh, I'm saved. I'm born again. That's enough. It's not enough. If it was enough, Jesus wouldn't say there was a prize. He wouldn't say to strain for it. He wouldn't say to be a disciple. He wouldn't have given us his word and told us to study it to show ourselves approved. If this was enough, it's not enough. It's enough if you want to sit in a rest area and just wait for Jesus to come back. Sure, it's enough. But if you want that glorious living, it's not enough. We got to be disciples. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. Oh, I love this verse. Says our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Oh, isn't that beautiful? You know, if you're looking for a fast change, sometimes it happens, but not all the time. Very rarely. The change that God does, it's gradual. You come in, you get born again, that's a big change. But then those rough edges and that thinking and that bondage ideas and all that, that's a gradual change that comes from being discipled. You know what a disciple is? He is a follower of Christ, a learner of the word. Yes. It is a disciplined one. That's why we don't like the word disciple, because it sounds too much like discipline. Nobody likes discipline. If we're doing a sermon and saying, hey, we're doing a three-day thing on discipline, people would be like, but if we were doing a three-day thing, how to get your prayers answered? Oh yeah, I'll be there. Three-day revival, how to get your prayers answered, how to have the blessed life. We're like, oh yeah, boy, I'm there. 3 days, how to be disciplined. Meh. Nobody thinks they need it, but everybody does. Amen. And you know how you get your prayers answered? You're disciplined. You know how you live the blessed life? You're disciplined.
That's right.
You're disciplined in your walk with God. You are a disciple. A disciple. But now does it come? It says, gradually, our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful. You can just stop right now. If your life isn't getting brighter and more beautiful as you grow in God, you're not doing it right. Because either the word's true or you're true. I'm going to go with the word. We got to get in and let God do what God does best. That's change lives. But we got to get in and get it done. Amen? Got to get out of that rest area. Here we go. Ephesians 4:7. This is kind of a just paraphrase I put together for you. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appropriated it to prepare God's people for works of service. You know what? When we get discipled, we're getting equipped. You know what we're getting equipped for? The Bible calls it the work of the ministry. God's got stuff for us to do. And when we do what God's called us to do, rewards are getting laid up in heaven. And there is nothing wrong with working for rewards. Nothing. God didn't put them there. He wouldn't have put them there if there was something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. We do it because we love God, and God rewards us. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people are like, oh, no, that's God did it. I'm gonna agree with him. So what am I going to do? I got to get discipled. That's why I encourage you. We're doing our 11 o'clock discipleship class. You need to take it. One of the things in the early church, which when I say early church, it's the church 20 years ago. One of the things in the church 20 years ago that is different in the church today is there was more of a discipleship movement then, a personal discipleship movement, where you personally took the time to grow, where you got into the things of God, and you didn't wait for somebody else to do it for you. You did it. You got the books. You got the tapes. You grew. And I don't see that as much in this. I'll be honest with you. I don't see that in this generation. I don't see that in the young people that when I was your age, in my 20s, we wanted to grow because we knew that we had to. And for some reason, this, not all of you guys, because a lot of you guys are doing great, but this, a lot of times these young people, they're like, they think it's just going to happen.
Right.
It's not just going to happen.
No.
If you're goofed up now, if you don't make some changes, you're going to be goofed up in 10 years, but then you're going to be married and have kids, you're going to be more goofed up than you ever thought of.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, what in the world happened? I'll tell you what happened. You didn't take the time to be a disciple of Christ.
Yes.
And you stayed the same way. And you wonder why things haven't worked out. You wonder why you're getting the same divorce your parents did when you swore you never would. It's because you didn't take the time to learn something different and change. That's the truth.
Come on.
You don't start following a different pattern, you will repeat the pattern that has been set before you.
Yes.
The pattern that was set before you is your parents. Whether you like them, love them, lump them, doesn't matter. It is the pattern that you have seen. And if you don't make a decision to say, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, I'm going to discipline myself and follow a different pattern, you will repeat all the things that you hate the most.
Amen.
And then you'll hate yourself for it. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And this generation, you guys, man, let's go. You got to get the book. Everything is too instant. I think that's what it is. Stuff is too instant. You want to read a Facebook message, have your life changed. That's not going to happen. You can read a Facebook message and get a chuckle, maybe shed a little tear. It will not change your life.
Right.
You know what will change your life? Being a disciple of Christ. That will change your life.
Come on.
Amen? I don't know why we went there.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to be discipled and equipped.
Yes.
You know what? The enemy, he's after you. You just need to face that. You need to turn on the news and see the enemy's main goal is to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. That's all he lives for. And if you're not discipled and equipped, he will. He will. That's a sad truth, but it is the truth. We got to be equipped. You need to know the word. And remember, you're free. Quit struggling with stuff that you're free from. Amen. But you got to draw into him and he'll gradually change your life and it'll get brighter
yes.
and more beautiful. Well, I just love that verse. You know, I'm going to put that somewhere where I see it all the time, and I'm just going to thank God. I'm just going to say, Lord, I thank you that my life is getting brighter and more beautiful as you come into it.
Yes.
Amen. I'd encourage you to do the same thing, because I tell you, God's got a glorious life for us. But we're not going to get it sitting at the rest area. How many want to put your car in drive and go?
Yes.
Let's go. We got somewhere to be. You know what? There's blessings for you down the road. There is things for you. There are jobs and opportunities and provision. You know, sometimes people are sitting like, where's my provision? Where's what I need? What you need is down the road. But you're in the rest area. It's not there. That's a place of rest, not a place to live.
Right.
Amen? We gotta go. God's got a place for you. God's got stuff for you. Let's go get it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everybody here that, Lord, if there's an area in our life where we've just let, you know, junk in, we've let old thinking, or maybe we just haven't taken the time to be that disciple. Holy Ghost, I just ask you to speak to the hearts of every person here. Let them know that their source of discontent and unhappiness and it just not feeling right, it's not you, God. It's them. It's them. They need to move forward in you. It's time to move forward in God. It's time to get on the journey. It's time to move towards that glorious living. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, that you would reveal to each one of us and speak to us your truth. I ask you that. And Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I would pray that today be the day that they say, Lord, come into my life, save me, forgive me, redeem me. If that's you today, if you say, you know what, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never said, Lord, I want to give you all of me for all of you. It's not difficult. People make stuff hard, not God. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that salvation, you know what comes with it? Forgiveness for everything you've ever done and everything you'll ever do. Forgiveness. Where you can live guilt-free. You've been forgiven by God. And you also get all the power you need to live life on this earth. As an overcomer, as a conqueror, victorious in things. And lastly, and most importantly, you receive a ticket to heaven to spend eternity with God. The Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and it's through the Son. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I want that ticket. I want forgiveness. I want the power to live life as an overcomer. And I want to know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven and not hell. I want Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Say, I need Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. And you know what? I think this is probably for all of us in one area or another. I know it's for me. But I want to make a declaration and a commitment to move out of that rest area, to move forward in my life with God, to be more of a disciple, to get where God wants me to be, to kind of put it in gear and go. If that's you, you say, I want to make a fresh commitment to move out of the rest area. Maybe you're only in that rest area in one area of your life, or maybe lots of them. It doesn't matter. But there's an area where you're saying, you know what, I need to kick it in gear in this area. I need to get aggressive in believing and thanking God for my healing, for my provision, for the mind of Christ, for open doors of opportunity, for the plan that God has for my life. I need to get aggressive about praying for my lost family members. I need to get aggressive about seeking God for my country. I need to get aggressive and quit being in a rest area and some of these things. I need to do that. I don't know about you, but that's me. I'm going to raise my hand and say, yes, Lord, that's me. I thank you, Lord, that you strengthen me and help me to get it in gear in these areas of my life. To step out and not be comfortable with lack and not be comfortable with the things the enemy's saying I need to settle for. But Lord, to get aggressive, believe God for my future, believe God for my family, believe God for the things you have for us. Lord, I just thank you that I commit to get it in gear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, ain't God good? God is so good. You know what? Next week, let's say I'm going to be further down the road. Amen. I'm going to be further down the road. What? I'm going to grow in some things. Some of you young people, come on now. Get some Brother Hagin books. Make a decision to read them. Watch Brother Hagin on YouTube. Look him up. Say Brother Hagin YouTube. Watch How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Every person on this planet needs to either read that book or watch that preaching, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Everybody needs that. But you know, you can lead a horse to water, so to speak. Amen. But you got to do it. All right, who's ready to give? Yeah. Woo!